everybody out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the best little Horde House in Azeroth, or a show we call Horde House for short. It's that show about all things World of Warcraft, but never too seriously. My name is Rob Roberts, and I'll be joining you over the next 40 or 50 minutes with my co-host. Say hello to the one, the only, the terrible, Extifer.
Oh, what? I'm not terrible.
You know how, like, back in the day when, you know, you had those big conquerors, they were, like, the terrible? Like, Ivan the Terrible?
Oh, don't make it sound so nice now.
You're Extifer the Terrible.
Oh, that's great. Thanks. I'm going to own up to that name that you just gave me.
All right, you know, I'm just giving you a hard time. How are you doing, Extifer?
I'm doing fine, and are you doing okay?
I'm good. It's Sunday, which is a little later in the week than we usually do the show, but, you know, it is what it is. I've been busy. I've had stuff to do.
Yeah, me
too. Now I'm doing two shows in a day, but whatever.
Whatever. Aw, go cry me a river.
Wham.
Yeah,
so,
Mr. Podcast of the Year.
No, not yet, and hardly even close, but I'm sensing a little bit of jealousy that Orange Launch Radio was nominated for Best Gaming Podcast, but Horde House was not.
No, I'm not jealous. I actually don't really care. What does it actually entail if you win? I mean, do you just get like a little tiny trophy you can?
That's exactly what I think you win. It's like winning Dancing with the Stars. You get a little trophy and that's it. It's more about the promotion and all the other stuff that you kind of get with it.
You know, Dancing with the Stars should at least give money to charities, right? Because usually celebrity shows like do that kind of thing.
That's true, and yeah. I don't think they do, because people still watch it anyway.
Yeah.
Because they hope to see Nancy Grace's titties fall out again, I guess. I don't know what the
hell
of that show
is. Or hear her fart again. Yeah.
Ew. All right. We have a guest with us tonight, a very familiar guest for the show, and always willing to help fill in at the last minute here. Say hello once again, everybody, to Salacious Pop.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Salacious Pop, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. What's new with you? Like, not in a non-WoW sense. We have plenty of time for Warcraft, but what's new with you otherwise?
Not much. Not really. Losing a little weight.
Woohoo!
Went and
That's
saw
good.
Rocky Horror last night.
Mm-hmm.
Again.
Mm-hmm. It is the season for that.
Yeah. You hosted a little thing out in the middle of nowhere.
Were you inspired by Extifer's weight loss tales on this show?
Sure.
Yay, I'm an inspiration to
Extifer, you're an inspiration. Actually, no, like every time I see Extifer, there's like less of him. Like he's starting to get like Fiona Apple skinny. It's crazy.
What? Wait, is that healthy skinny or not healthy skinny? Because I don't know.
I'm just saying, you're looking good, Extifer.
Oh, well, thank you.
You're looking real good.
Miss Apple.
All right.
You're taking it to a weird place. So
yeah, I know. That's what the show is all about, is taking it to a weird place, taking our favorite game to a very weird place. Yeah. No, well, actually, I did get to see you in person last night, Extifer. Like, I make it sound like it's like a rare event. Like, once every 6 months, I get to see Extifer in person. But I did see Extifer in person last night, and you were telling me that you were kind of flirting with the idea of maybe re-upping your subscription to WoW. Because, you know, for those that have been listening to the show for a while, you have been on WoW hiatus. You still follow mm-hmm. everything about the game. You're just not paying for it because, you know, low economy and everything. But mm-hmm. you're thinking maybe pretty soon you're coming back?
Maybe. We'll see after BlizzCon. I think BlizzCon really will maybe re-energize my want to play WoW. But like I've said before, I have a lot of things going right now that have kind of you know, replaced WoW, in that I'm a little bit more active than before, and I don't want to give that up. I mean,
I love
the game.
You make it sound like if you play Warcraft, you can't ever go outside.
No, that's not true. I mean, I can definitely fit it in. It's just, I guess what I'm trying to get at is just how am I going to fit it in? You know what I mean? Because I know I'm not going to go back to raiding on a full-time basis. But I still like to raid, you know what I mean? It's still why I like to play the game, so I really need to figure out what I really want to do, you know, when I come back.
With all due respect to your current guild, maybe you need to find a guild that raids a little less, like more of a casual style, or be on your guild's alt raiding team or something.
Yeah, I'll still play with my guild. Mm-hmm. you know, I never had any falling outs with anybody over there. There's no reason why I would quit the guild or anything like that. But
what about the whole looking for raid group tool that's coming out? I mean,
you know, I thought about that too. Mm-hmm. And that might be a good way to, you know, transition back to the game. Although I have reservations about that just because of the fact that it would be essentially pugging. And I don't enjoy pug groups anyway. So
there's a lot of really,
it's 25. Also. Yeah. So if you're used to 10s, yeah, pugging a 25 would be like, the possibility for stupidity is like 2.5 times as high.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I think as we talked about on the show before, we used to pug 25-man raids back in Wrath when it was Vault of Archivon, and I'm convinced...
And they were annoying.
But some were good and some weren't, like any other, you know, pug group. You know, I seem to... Well, I don't know if the pugging difficulty of these new raids is going to be as easy as Vault of Archivon was, but I'm thinking it probably will be. Like, I think... The deal is that most bosses in the Dungeon Finder, or excuse me, Raid Finder, are going to be like one or two little twists, and then that's it. It'll be a pretty easy fight, like something you can explain in a paragraph.
Right.
And then when you go into the normal tens, it'll be a little more difficult. There'll be another twist. And when you go into the heroics, there'll be another twist, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I think that, I mean, I definitely will eventually get back into the game. It's just a matter of when. And how I just need to figure it out, because I'd like to play, but you know, I'm also playing my PS3, you know, a lot, so it's about fitting it in to an already like big a lot of things to do in my day.
Well, so. Maybe you just need more lube.
Maybe I do. I don't even understand that. Why'd you say that?
All right, forget it. Let's talk to Salacious Pop.
Okay.
So I usually check in with the guests and ask, like, you know, what they've been doing in game. But, you know, you're on this show quite a bit, so I think most people know by now you are in a higher end rating guild, like one of the top guilds on the server.
Yeah.
Actually, aren't you all tied for number one now because no one's taken down Heroic Rag? Like, what's the status of that?
That is true. We're ranked second because we got our Heroic Belrock kill like a week or two after the guild that we're competing with did, and those rankings go by how long it took you to actually get your first kill.
And you're talking like Guildox rankings, right? The website guildox.com. Okay.
And I believe they're working on it. I think they have the other guild has a 10 team and a 25 team trying to get the kill, so if they get it on 10, that still counts, even though, you know, elitists will say it is 25 or it's shit, but you know, if they get it, the achievement pops. So yeah, a third guild on our server got the first Sinestra down on 10, like ever on our server, just to show how sort of low on the totem pole our server is for progression. they got Sinestra down on Sunday night, like 2 weeks ago.
Well, I was on Drenden, I want to say Thursday night. Of course, Drenden is the home of the official Horde House Guild, our show's guild. The best little Horde House in Azeroth.
I don't know why I just did that.
Just because I wanted to hear myself echo through your headset. But they just popped a guild on the server just popped that Heroic Rag kill on Thursday, because I saw the achievement pop while I was leveling. So
yeah, that's pretty good. That's good that they got that.
Yeah, but I mean, so not every server still even has that kill. I don't know about Sinestra. Like, I imagine there's got to be some servers that maybe just never got around to getting it, but...
I think 2 weeks ago, and I'll get into this a little bit more during my week in Azeroth, two or 3 weeks ago when Heroic Rag became a reality for my guild, our offices were like, only 46 or 47 guilds in the U.S. have this right now, and we're starting to work on it, so we need to ask ourselves if we're a top 50 regional guild, because we haven't really been in the past, and we may not get this before 4.3 comes out, so we need to realize... if we're going to put in all this work, that we may not get it. So, yeah, at the time, it was 50 or less. I imagine it's about somewhere between 50 and 60 now.
Well, let's explore that a little bit, because I this might be kind of dipping into your week in Azeroth, but whatever, that's fine. You kind of expressed that you guys have been having a little bit of difficulty maintaining interest, or I guess just like burnout, because you have nothing to do right now besides Heroic Rag?
This happened when we were working on the ass end of Heroic Tier 11. I think we were 6 of 13 before Firelands finally came out. And for those last few weeks when we knew the patch was coming, we had a lot of people flaking out, like no post, no show on raid nights, or just like the enthusiasm wasn't there. So that really sort of cramped our Tier 11 progression. And we have been at Heroic Rag for about 3 weeks now. And the problem is we're so good now at clearing out the first six bosses on Heroic that we can do it within 3 hours of the first night because we raid Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays. So Tuesday night by like 11 o'clock, we're done with the other six. So it's like we have an hour now and then all of Wednesday and Thursday night to just wipe. That's like 8 hours of raiding, just wiping on Heroic Rag. And it's only been like the second or third week and we're already having people post like 5 minutes before raid time on Tuesday night going, I can't go because of cancer and I don't want to. And my girlfriend is like pregnant 17 times and I have to take her to Safeway. Just, you know, whatever.
Yeah, cancer is never a good reason to. Yeah. I mean, unless you're maybe terminal. I don't know. Like,
so it's already starting where it'll be 10 after 8. And we usually pull trash at like 5 to the hour. So because the officers are really militant about that. So it'll be 8:15, 8:30. And we only have 22 or 23 people.
I can understand anal cancer.
Yeah. It's like, I can't heal you when my ass is bleeding. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
I have to draw the line somewhere.
I mean, I guess I could raid standing up if I had anal cancer, but it would probably still hurt. So,
you know, anal cancer isn't funny because that's what Farrah Fawcett died of. And it's especially not funny because that new Charlie's Angels was atrocious.
Let's blame anal cancer for that.
Yeah.
Fine.
And, you know, I wasn't making a joke. I'm being serious, Rob. Anal.
Oh, no, I know. You're very serious on this program.
Yeah, we treat this program like we would AIDS.
Okay, can we talk about Salacious Pop's
yes.
guild drama? Well, not even drama, but just the antics of individuals who kind of want to be there for the good stuff and would prefer to just sit out the work part, right?
Yeah, well, we're taking next week off for raiding because a lot of the people in my guild are on the Midwest and East Coast. And they're flying out for BlizzCon, which is next weekend. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we're invited to do an impromptu, you know, 10-man runs for those of us that aren't going to BlizzCon. But we're officially not raiding all of next week. So I don't have to log in. I can just flake out if I want. So the offices are hoping that for the people that are suddenly doing a no-post, no-show or showing up late, specifically because, I mean, we can't accuse anyone of everything, but we know it's like this is 4 hours of wiping to rag. If you're not showing up, we kind of know why. We're hoping that the week off will sort of get that out of their system if they're getting burned out so that in 2 weeks we can just, you know, crash our bodies up against rag again.
That sounds very hot. Isn't the repair bills probably a problem with all that too? Like, aren't you talking about if you're wiping over and over and over again, aren't you talking about like, you know, you're putting out 150 gold for repairs every hour or two? Or did your guild finally open up the bank for that?
No, we still don't have open bank repairs.
Oh my gosh. That could be the reason.
Every three or four wipes, I only repair every three or four wipes, and the rag fight is so long, and the wall that we're up against right now is phase two, and the way that the seeds work, it's a lot more difficult with AoE, burst AoE, that you need to burn them down than in regular mode. So that's the wall that we just can't get through that part, and it takes, the fight is so long that it takes time to get to that point. So I repair every three or four attempts, which is at least about 20 minutes of time. And even then, it's only 60 or 70 gold. So it's not that much. And if you're in a raiding guild, there's an expectation that you know how to make your character money. So I don't know.
Still seems very high. You know, I don't know. I just would think that would be a wall. Plus, it doesn't your guild have something like thousands and thousands of gold in the guild bank? Like, what is being saved for?
Last I looked, we had about 800,000 or 900,000 gold in the guild bank. But the guild will also randomly decide if someone's alt needs a weapon made. They'll just go to the auction house and buy the true gold for them, or they'll buy a BOE that we haven't gotten to drop off trash in our raid group that another guild did that they put on the auction house for like 25,000-30,000 gold. It's like, all right, we know that this is your raiding main. We're just going to buy this BOE for you.
I guess that's cool.
It's a case-by-case basis. You just have to ask an officer if they're willing to do it. But they do stuff like that, so guild repairs isn't that much of a priority.
Have you guys tried to do anything to like mix up the raiding besides just doing heroic rag? Like, you know, is there a point where you just say, screw it, let's go to ICC and kill the Lich King to make ourselves feel better?
Yeah, the officers have said that we're going to try and put in 6 or 7 hours of heroic rag attempts a week, and that still leaves 2 or 3 hours left over, considering how fast that we're killing the first 6 bosses. So what we're doing is we're switching it up to BOT, because I still think some people want to see Sinestra, even though it's no longer a server first. So we try to put in work on heroic Cho'Gall and also do achievements for the tier 11 meta Drake. Because, you know, you've got Blackwing Descent, Passionate Twilight, and Throne of the Four Winds. There are achievements that you can do for the mechanics on each one of those fights on regular. Right. So we're doing that because on regular, DPS is not an issue. Heals aren't an issue. It's just a matter of, can we not stand in stupid or kill the boss within whatever bullshit mechanic the achievement is. So that's what we do on Thursday nights to sort of clear our head, because by then we're just sort of exhausted of seeing rag over and over again.
All right. Wow. Okay. Well, I can't think of anything else to ask you about raiding. I don't know, Extfer, any raid related questions for Salacious Pop?
Anal warts.
All right, huh? let's move on to how was your week in Azeroth. And Salacious Pop, I know we've kind of dipped into your week a little bit with the raiding talk, but what else has been going on in your week in Azeroth?
I've been hoarding a lot of money for the 4.3 patch, simply because, you know, when you get that new gear from the new raid starts rolling in, you've got to enchant it all, gem it all. It totally fucks up like all of your reforging for your entire gear, so you're spending like 200 gold. For each, you know, on reforges. So just lots of farming on my DK. I'm switching him from two-handed sword to dual-wield, just because two-handed DPS with Frost is very boring and I hate looking at it. So I'm doing that. I almost got sat when I was raiding last week on Tuesday on Beth Talak, because I kept just being stupid, and I guess I really pissed off the healers, and they had to switch the role that I was doing or else I was going to get sat, and I felt really bad because I had done that certain role before in previous weeks without a problem, but I was just, you know, I just had a brain tumor for lunch before raid.
What's the role?
I don't know what my problem was. There are these spiderlings that come out of this little cave. They're little spiders, and they rush to a drone that the off tank has. And you have to kill the spiderlings before they reach the drone, because if it eats one, it basically gets all of its health back, and you've basically wasted all of that DPS on the drone that you've been trying to do to get it down. Before the first drone spawns, the spiderlings come out, but they don't have the drone to fixate on. So if you AoE it, they all aggro to you. And this only happens at the very beginning of the fight. So I would, you know, I'm a boomkin, so I would get to solar and I would pop my mushrooms and there would be 2 or 3 of them up, and I would be too close to them, so they'd be nibbling me to death. And then there are these engorged spiderlings that run out, and they have like 1 million hit points and you're not supposed to kill them, and you just run into them and they pop, and you're basically, it's kamikaze duty. You have to run and strafe into these little engorged ones so that they explode on you, because you have to keep them from making it to the drone. So between the spiderlings nibbling me and just happily running into a drone, it was too much damage. I would be dead within 30 seconds of the fight starting. I did that 5 times. They're like, what the fuck?
Wow.
Stop it.
What do you think was going wrong when it's something that you just haven't had a problem with before? Were you just not into it? Do you think maybe you're getting burned out a little bit too?
I think I was overconfident on, like, they have a dedicated healer on the people that are doing the kamikaze on the engorged ones to pop them. So I was like, oh, I'm being nibbled to death by the three little babies that I've still left up, but here's one of them running towards me, the one that explodes. So I'm just going to take it and expect, you know, me to get healed through this. And it's like, we can't really heal you for 200K, you know, at once, dude. It's not going to happen. And there's also a backup person, a mage behind me. I should have let him take the one that explodes while I was getting nibbled by the spiderlings, but I just decided, oh, I can handle it. I'll just pop my bark skin. Oh, I still died. And no one else was having this problem.
Yikes. Well, that's still weird to me, though, that they would threaten to sit you when they can't even get people to show up for the raid.
Eh. Well, this was on Tuesday night when we still had the first six to kill, because people still need the heroic loot drops from the first six. It's on Wednesday and Thursday where we know it's literally nothing but rag for 4 hours.
I see.
People are like, I'm just not going to log in. Sorry.
I'm on the rag right now, so...
Yeah, no rag because of rag.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, Salacious Pop, anything else in your week besides Firelands heroic rating?
Not really, just making gold and PvP and being it's pretty much it. Waiting for 4-3 to come out, I guess. Or actually, I'm waiting for what the news is going to be for the new expansion at BlizzCon this weekend.
Let me back up for PvP, because we don't often get into PvP discussion in the show. What have you been doing in the PvP world?
I just try to run two or three battlegrounds, randoms a day on my boomkin. It's fun. That's not really any different from what I would normally do. I was trying to PvP with my DK, my alt, but he doesn't have... It's kind of weird. You're not going to earn the honor to get a full PvP set without actually going into battlegrounds. But if you do in PvE gear, you're kind of an asshole because you have no resilience and everyone's like, ew, you're doing this in PvE, you suck. You can't really do anything because you drop dead so fast, and it kind of creates a bottleneck for me where it's like, this isn't fun, but it won't be fun until I get through this hump of not having any honor come in so I can buy the PvP gear. So I was trying to do PvP on my DK, but just decided that it wasn't fun because I don't have the gear.
What about doing the conversion of justice points to honor points?
Yeah, I don't roll heroics with him as much as I should, just because he's an alt and he's mostly a gatherer to make my main money. So the idea of running like 7 troll heroics a week, because, you know, you get justice for all of those 8 or 9 bosses in there each that you have to kill. I just don't do that. I just don't do that enough to get the justice points flowing in.
Makes sense. All right. Well, good luck, I guess, with the continued raiding and whatever you're going to end up doing in PvP. You know, whatever your ultimate goal is there, getting, I guess, your gear. But I hope you guys get heroic Ragnaros soon.
Yeah, I'm really going to enjoy having a week off for BlizzCon, even though I'm not going. I'm really going to enjoy having that week off of raiding, to be honest.
Do you think you're going to just not play next week, or what do you think you're going to end up doing?
I'll sign on, but if they, you know, my main also, I forgot to mention this, she's on phase 3 of the Legendary Quest, which is the final part of it to get the Terragosa's, the Dragonwrath Staff. There's a Warlock who... He needs to get his last 5 or 6 souls, which is maybe 1 or 2 bosses, kill Rag, and he's done. He gets the big coronation ceremony in Stormwind at the cathedral, and all the blue dragons come out. Then I'm next. So I'm going to try and maybe do a 10-man Firelands non-heroic next week just to get a leg up on collecting those little bits for my legendary. But otherwise, yeah, I'm not going to... If it doesn't happen, I'm not going to break my back. I might just... not sign on at all Tuesday or Wednesday night.
You guys should have a lot of sex.
Yeah, we could do that. In game or
well, I mean, whatever floats your boat, you know. I don't know. Personally, I find playing the game and having sex at the same time is kind of odd. But it could happen.
Just
I mean,
put a laptop in someone's lap, we'll make it work.
Yeah.
Wow, so moving on. How was your week in Azeroth? Exifer, how was your week in Azeroth?
My week in Azeroth was pretty cool. I played a lot of Uncharted 3 multiplayer, and that was fun. Otherwise, just doing the gym and being myself. I don't know.
Being myself.
Yeah, being myself.
All right.
Jim, my, or Flacco Jones, my brother-in-law, he was telling me that he has been playing the Firelands dailies a lot, and he loves them, is what he's saying. And so he's trying to grind out, like, all of the stuff that he needs, like, for to unlock new dailies and stuff. And
he just hasn't had the time to really truly get sick of them yet. I think that's what the difference is.
Well, I mean, he's it would be like me, I guess. I only kind of, you know, got to experience just a little bit of the dailies, so I didn't really see a lot of it. And so if I came back to the game right now, it'd all be pretty much new to me, too. So I'd probably have to, you know, it'd be a little bit better for me than you guys that have been playing them for months.
So. And at the end of the day, the Firelands dailies were done really well. Like, I know they were trying to emulate a little bit of the Isle of Quel'Danas and, like, how into the dailies people were back then. And I think they did a pretty good job. Like, you know, all things considered, I think the Firelands dailies were one of the best things, if not the best thing, about the last patch. In fact, it kind of leaves me thinking, are we getting anything like it in 4.3? I don't think we are we?
Darkmoon Fair Island, maybe? That has a bunch of crap to it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you're not going to be able to get, like, Uber gear from that, right?
I don't know. I think the big draw of the next patch is just going to be the five-mans and the raid.
It's the not looking for raid. Yeah.
I mean, if you remember that, and they'll probably have, like, quests, you know, to draw you into them, too. I know there's going to be quests to draw you into them, but if you remember that was kind of like how they did the end of Wrath of the Lich King. You know, they didn't have, like, a big daily hub.
Yeah, I guess that's true. And, you know, if the item level to get into the new five mans is lower than the 365 items that come from the Firelands dailies, there's still, like, points to doing the Firelands dailies. You know, the purpose won't go away completely. It just won't be the place to get the best gear.
So. Right. No.
All right.
Exactly.
Well, let's talk about my week in Azeroth. Yay, X-Fur's favorite part of the show.
Yay, I'm going to go pee while you do that.
All right, have fun. I have a third level 85 now. I hit my third level 85 this week, and it's my druid on Drenden in the Horde House Guild. Yep. My druid over there, Gordita is her name.
You've caught the Boomkin fever, and I'm very proud of you.
I a little bit, yeah. I leveled as a Boomkin, and most of the dungeons I did as a Boomkin. And what little justice points I've accumulated so far that I spent on tier gear, I bought Boomkin gear. But I did play around a little bit with Resto, too. And I can't remember why I did it. I think I went into a dungeon.
It was a guild run, right? And they needed a healer.
I think so. I think it was a guild run, and I had to heal for some reason. So I just did it. I switched to healing, and it worked out. Like, healing, I was just able to heal in my Boomkin gear, and it was fine. So I like that I don't have to run around with two sets of gear like I do on my paladin. So, that was fun. And healing on a druid, I noticed, is actually kind of easy. Like, once I figured out the trick and, like, what's changed since I last healed on a druid, which would have been, like, the Burning Crusade rating, or maybe early Wrath rating. I would say early Wrath rating, like, Naxxramas was the last time that I was healing. So, yeah, kind of going through all those changes took me a minute. Like, I was like, wait, what? You have to keep... Wait. I remember when Life Bloom was awesome, and then you were, like, never supposed to use Life Bloom, and now you have to keep Life Bloom up all the time. Like, why does this keep changing? But once I finally got used to it, it was awesome. And, yeah, we were doing guild runs on the best little horde house on Drenden, so that was fun. Like, it's nice we have enough level 85s now. You know, we're not swarming with people, but it's slowly growing, and it's nice. It was fun to kind of do some of those. We had a pug that was not so good. I did my first heroic with two of the other DPSers in the guild. And so it was, huh?
I was going to say, where did you got Stone Core, right?
Which yes.
Was the worst first heroic.
Oh my God. We got Stone Core as the first heroic, and it was going all right for the first couple bosses, which actually left me with a really good feeling because, you know, usually it's that first boss can honestly break up a pug. If it's just the wrong, you know, group. But we one-shotted the first boss, got through the second boss. But on our way to the third boss, we had a wipe on trash because we accidentally aggroed another group. And I'm not sure if it was me or if it was the mage, but, you know, whatever. We're DPS. We make a mistake. And I think it might have been me because I'm still, you know, I literally just hit 85. I'm still learning, like, how to target things as DPS. Remember, I'm not used to this. My main is a healer. I'm used to frames exclusively. So I haven't done, like, DPS runs in a long, long time. And even as a DPS paladin, I don't have to worry about aggroing things across a distance. If I have the wrong target on, then I won't hit it. You know, like, there's less potential to screw up. So for whatever reason, we pulled another group, and the tank just flew off the handle. And the tank was an asshole anyway. Like, the tank was just very condescending and one of those people that just, like, it's like, dude, you need to take Prozac. Like, he's just one of those, like, you could just sense he's, like, one of those 13-year-old nerd-raging mouth-breather kids just sitting there like, why aren't you doing your job? You know, just, oh, my God, like, chill out, relax, get laid. Like, get some of that tension out. It's just terrible. So,
anal tension.
Yeah, whatever it is. Just
no, it
get
is.
Over it. So we kicked him. We vote kicked the tank, which in retrospect, and the reason was take Prozac. In retrospect, that probably wasn't a smart idea because the three of us from Horde House were three DPS. And the healer stuck with us as long as they could. But, you know, after 10 minutes, even the healer was like, LOL, bye. And we were sitting in the queue for like 25 minutes and no new tank came in. And it was just at the point where it was like, all right, this ain't happening. Let's go do something else. So we ended up going to the Cullingus Strat home just to get somebody their Amber Drake. just because. So
nice.
Whatever. But it's cool that we're able to kind of go on adventures like that. And I am going to schedule a Kara raid very soon because you only need like two people to raid Karazhan now. So I know there's at least like five level 85s that would go. So it'll be fun. Do a Karazhan raid. And otherwise on my paladin, I've been continuing to raid here and there a little bit, kind of a mixture of Firelands and tier 11, but we can only still get the first boss down in Firelands, so it's just going to take time. Also been working on archaeology, which is like, it's so boring, it's a terrible profession, but I really want the professor title. And so I've been working on it, and I got assistant professor this week, not associate. Associate's the one you get for one rare, but I got assistant, which is the one you get for 10 rares. But to get professor, you have to have 20 rares discovered. And so I've discovered 10, and I have four more in the queue, so to speak, meaning if you've done archaeology, you can kind of see what the next item is that you're going to discover. And for four different races, I have a rare in the queue. So if I keep working at it, I'll get professor soon enough, but it's going to be a bit of a grind, which, you know, is not terribly fun.
No.
So, but I'll like listen to music, be on Turntable FM and just do archaeology and chat with people. And that's kind of how I pass the time. But I really want that professor title.
Well, I hope you get it.
I hope so too. It's like what I want most in game right now, even more than like loot. It's kind of sad. So
you want to be the girl with the most cake?
Yes, I do. How did you know?
I don't know. I just, you kind of rubbed me that way.
All right. Oh, you saying I'm fat? I think you are.
No.
All right. Well, that's it for my week in Azeroth. So we're going to go back to Extifer with the news.
Okay. Extifer with the noose. I'm going to hang somebody for our show. No. I don't know. That was a bad joke.
You don't have the news queued up, do you? You just
no, I do.
Time.
I do have the news queued up. Oh, okay. Actually, for once in our sad, sad lives, I do have the news queued up. Okay,
read
so
it.
Shut up. The first thing on the list of the news is that the biggest thing this week was that there's going to be a new pet coming up on the Blizzard store. And it's going to be, you're going to be able to buy it off the store and trade it in game, also put it in on the auction house. So this is kind of a clever way of moving out of buying gold from a third party vendor, you know, to a lot of people. At least, you know, you can buy a pet and then sell it on the auction house for gold. Who knows how much gold the pet's going to go for. I imagine that it would probably go for a lot of gold at first, but after it kind of trickles throughout the economy, it'll go down just like everything else that loses value after time in the game.
It'll go down just like Extifer.
Yeah, it'll go down just like me.
And the vocal quality of your Skype connection, but that's all right.
Oh, whatever. That's just a given. So this is like interesting new territory that Blizzard has been kind of flirting with, I guess, with the in-game, with the store that they brought out last year. And so we'll see, you know, how this goes. You know, they even straight up said this is our way of, you know, making it so that people don't go through third party people and, you know, get hacked from buying gold from third parties such as China. So, you know, what do you guys say about this?
Salacious Pop?
I think it's a good idea. I know a lot of people are upset that it's, you know, it's the same price as a bind on account pet that goes to literally every alt that you're ever going to roll from there on out in the future. So it's still $10, but you just get the one. Obviously, you can't get one on every single character you have, or else that would sort of make it, that would sort of ruin it for its gold making properties on the auction house. So it's kind of lame that you pay $10 and you literally only get one and you have to pick which, you know, tunic goes on. But yeah, as far as, you know, as an alternative way to make a nice chunk of change in gold on the game and doing it in a Blizzard sanctioned way, it's, you know, why not? I don't really see anything ethically wrong with it.
The only thing that I don't think is right is the pricing of the pet. I mean, I've never agreed with their pricing anyway of the pets on the pet store or the mounts. The mounts is just ridiculous. I mean, $25 for a mount is insane to me. But yeah, I don't really agree with the cost of it. Just like you said, especially because you only get one per character. And, you know, you're paying $10 for who knows what the amount of gold that you'll get, you know, from selling it. So it's, if you're doing it with that purpose in mind, just know that the auction house is unpredictable. You can't predict how much you're going to get for it. So it could be 10 gold. It could be 10,000 gold, you know, so do it at your own risk.
Because it's this new special type of pet that's fitting this new type of model where it's, you know, BOE and tradable and all that, I dislike the fact that it's attached to the Guardian mount that came out, the Disco, the Afro Sphinx.
Uh-huh.
It's a little baby. So visually, it's a very cute pet. I think it looks cute. But that mount goes to everything. All of your alts, Horde
right.
side, Alliance side, you get to everything. But if you want to be riding on your big mount, and then have your little baby follow you around, because I know a lot of, I guess, not even just an RP, or just that's just cute to do, you can't do it because you just get the one. So you have to pick which main gets the baby, and then you have to, of course, use it on yourself and activate it on that account, on that character, rather than sell it. So I don't like how, if you're a completionist and you want to have the baby with the big, you know, mama mount guardian, you have to basically fuck yourself over. I wish that for this new auction house model, they created an entirely new critter, is what I'm trying to say. I wish it wasn't related to a previous asset.
You kind of feel this might be a little bit of a lazy thing on Blizzard's
part. Yeah, it's definitely lazy. If they wanted to make a guardian baby, that's great, but just make it account-wide like all of the other pets, and for the auction critter, make it some new, I don't know, Murloc, whatever, you know, just something that's standalone that's not attached to a previous thing that they've done.
Right. Yeah, I can see that. I don't know. I think that, yeah, the price is just the big deal for me. Like, I wouldn't do it if I had the money perhaps to spend, but I don't know. I wouldn't do it right now if I was playing the game. So that's going
Can I say on this?
Like, sure. Go ahead.
Well, I just want to say, like, I thought I would be more irritated about it reading it on paper than I really was, because at the end of the day, it's just a pet, and I'm very kind of, whatever. Like, I get that it's Blizzard trying to provide a legal way, so to speak, I mean, for lack of a better word, to get gold in game for real money rather than turning to the dark side. But I don't, like, this doesn't, it's just a freaking pet. Like, I actually don't think it's going to be that successful for gold in game. Like, that's a huge goal. I think if it does go in game, it'll go for a lot of money, and it's going to be a huge gold sink, which I guess is a good thing. I don't know, for some people. But because don't forget the auction house gets a cut of whatever you sell. But I don't know. Like, it's just a pet. Like, who cares? But I don't know. I guess some people are really rabid with their pet collecting.
Yeah.
As long as it's not gear. Like, I think if this had been announced that it was gear of some sort, or I think I'd feel a lot stranger about it. And again, mm-hmm. that has to do with the whole fact of I don't want to be double dipped for my Warcraft. Like, I don't want to have to pay a monthly fee and pay extra money to be a leg up on the competition in game. Like, it would be very much having your cake and eating it too. And I'm going to have a big problem with WoW when that ever happens, to the point where I probably won't want to play anymore. But for now, it's all been pets, mounts, and frou-frou, you know, bullshit that doesn't really impact the game at the end of the day. So I've been okay with it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I worry. The more Blizzard kind of explores this, I'm like, God, I hope they make the right decision, because sometimes Blizzard doesn't make the right decision. See, mm-hmm. Real ID.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. So
we'll see.
Yeah.
But for now, it's whatever. Like, I think it's more of a taste of things to come rather than a huge issue right now. Like, this is just more of a interesting that Blizzard's doing this. What else is going to come of this? Because this can't be it.
Yeah, I think that this is, they're testing the waters with this, and they'll see how it goes. We won't really understand fully, you know, what the impact of this will be on the economy, the in-game economy, until we see it released onto the live servers. So until that happens, it's just pure speculation at this point of what's going to happen, you know, if people are just going to go overboard with this, or if it's going to be, you know, very valuable on the auction house, you know, we'll see. So the next thing on the list of news is that the Death Knight tier 13, as we all know, hasn't been previewed yet, and Blizzard's explanation for it was that they had Death Knight tier gear that was really, in their opinion, crazy good, you know, on paper. But when they translated it into their game files, they didn't like it for whatever reason. So they scratched it and they went back to the drawing board and they created something new, and it's almost done. And that's the reason why there's been a gap between the preview of Death Knight Tier 13 as compared to all of the other classes. So we'll see what this looks like. They're saying that a lot of people were speculating that this will be one of their reveals at BlizzCon, which, yay, like, everybody's looking forward to seeing a reveal of a gear set, you know, at BlizzCon. Like, and they kind of LOL'd at that, you know, saying that no, this is going to be something that's still previewed on their blog. And that it might be a coincidence that it happens next week, you know, if it does. So I'm assuming that we'll see it probably within the next coming week, if not the week after BlizzCon. And we'll see what this new super spectacular Death Knight tier 13 gear looks like.
Well, I mean, I guess props to them for taking the time to get it right. I mean, I guess that is a very Blizzard thing to do. So
it's like, why couldn't they do that with Druids? Oh well, I think we all have, like, with our main class, we all kind of feel like shafted sometimes, except for priests, because their gear just looks awesome. But
I think you're never gonna please everyone.
No,
you're just not.
Although, you know, Miklatov, who was on our show the other week, he mentioned the Paladin PvP set. Did I mention this last week? Because the Paladin PvP set...
I don't usually pay attention to you.
Oh, okay. Well,
it is super awesome looking.
Yeah, it's I have to say, right on par with the preset. It's actually really, really nice, and it really is nice that they're introducing transmogrifying, you know, next patch, because I would assume a lot of people are going to go for the PvP sets to, you know, use for their PvE gear. So anyhow, it'll be interesting how transmogrifying really changes the way people, you know, appear in the game. So that's that for the tier 13.
I really do like that paladin PvP set. Like, I just looked it up. I never seen that before, or at least I forgot if I did. Like, yeah, I want to transmogrify my PvE set to look like that. That's awesome.
But you're going to have to do a shitload of arena if you actually want it.
Mm. Yeah, that's the
and win. Arena and win.
Yeah, surprise. Yeah, arena and win. Oops.
It's the drawback, but, you know, it might encourage people to do PvP more often that don't usually do it, because they want that gear, you know, to look good. They want their gear to look good, you know, in PvE when they're in, you know, raiding. So the Firelands raid completion was reported by MMO Champion recently to be only 1.something% of a certain predetermined number of players in the United States, I guess. They have since said, no, it's actually more like 20%. And Blizzard actually commented on it. And it's kind of interesting that Blizzard... It's always, like, interesting to me when Blizzard comments on a blog. You know, it just goes to show how important these blogs are to the WoW player base. You know, we look at WoW Insider and we look at MMO Champion, and we don't take those blogs with a grain of salt, because they're usually very accurate in their news and everything. And, you know, Blizzard doesn't either. So Blizzard has come out, though, and said, you know, no, they were wrong. And but they could only go off of what they can see. Blizzard can have more accurate numbers, and they said, we won't release those numbers, but, you know, we just want to let you know they were wrong, even though their intentions weren't bad. So we're assuming that it's more like 20% or so of the player base has seen Heroic Ragnaros through. So that's kind of interesting to me. I don't know. But Rob, what do you think?
I don't know if there's a lot to think about it. I think Blizzard's always been, stats are stats. More of you should be finishing Firelands. I'm not sure where that 1% number came from. I mean, maybe they were looking at Heroic, but then again, if it's only like 50 guilds that have even cleared it on Heroic, then that's way less than 1%.
Well, see, their sample size was like 2.something million accounts, and they're not looking at, first of all, I think characters was what it was, 2.7 million characters.
Yeah, but how many people have multiple characters? And I think that's something that they're not able to gauge.
Right, and they can't gauge that. There's a lot of factors that aren't, you know, that they're not able to gauge, that I think kind of skew the numbers a certain way. And plus, they're looking at such a small percentage, you know, of the player base as it is, that... you know, we're not looking at the bigger picture, and most of those accounts are from America. And, you know, how many of those accounts are level 85s, you know, like, or characters are level 85s? Like, did they do it from level 85, like, that perspective? Like, I don't understand.
I would also still say that there's probably, you know, a success rate in Firelands clearing comparable, if not better, than people that cleared tier 11 when it was current. So
I agree with that.
I mean, it kind of seems like we're taking an issue out of a non-issue, but
of people did. I think it's funny.
Weird to me. It's weird to me. But yeah. I mean, did you want to say something, Salacious Pop?
I would say also remember the canyon between, even if you're doing Heroic content, the amount of guilds that are at 6 of 7 that don't have Heroic Rag down is huge. So just because you don't have Heroic Rag, isn't really the best indicator that you're not doing heroic content, because there right. are a lot of guilds that have 6 of 7 that just can't get over that wall.
Right. And yeah. also another thing is that the people that, you know, we forget what I was going to say. Never mind. The good point, Salacious Pop.
I know people were, especially if you checked the comments in that blog post where they announced that heroic level was getting nerfed, and people were just volcanically butt furious about, why are you nerfing heroics? Heroics are supposed to be for the hardcore. That helped my guild within, mm-hmm. we were 3 of 7. After those 15% slashes came out to heroic, we got 2 extra bosses down just in a week.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was. The point is, like, that when you look at those graphs that they put out on MMO Champion, because he actually reposted it and said, hey, guys, you know, it isn't really 1.34% or whatever of the player base. You know, we kind of knew that all along. Our point was that you look at the graph and you see quite a big difference when they nerf the content. You know what I mean? Of the completion, the percentage goes up. It skyrockets, actually. So, I mean, like Rob said, I think that a lot more people are able to see this content than the people that, you know, were raiding in Tier 11 when it became first available. So, anyway.
So, yeah, I was totally right.
Yeah, whatever. We'll give you that.
And, you know, the fact that Blizzard is listening to and responding to posts throughout the community, I think it's just a good sign for Blizzard and, you know, why they are at the top of their game. Because, unfortunately, a lot of companies don't quite have that same relationship with their fans. Like, that's something, like, for example, Square Enix has been very badly trying to repair over the past, you know, year, mm-hmm. is the relationship with their fan base. So, you know,
right.
Blizzard does a pretty good job with that.
Yep. Although the I have to admit, the trailer for Final Fantasy 13-2 looked amazing. So, and I don't even play Final Fantasy games. So, Square Enix, you know,
Final Fantasy 13 was a lot better than people gave it credit for. And I'm talking 13, not 14, the MMO, but 13 was a lot better than people gave it credit for. But that's a rant I'll save for another show.
Did you actually finish that game?
I'm very close. I'm in like the last chapter, and I hit a wall that pissed me off, and then by that point I was on another game and my gaming ADD kicked in.
Yeah, he hasn't touched it in a long time.
I was amazed that you were actually sticking to it for the longest time, because like,
and yet I still didn't finish it. But yeah. I got really close. I know I was close.
Yeah. So,
but the problem is all the best shit is like towards the end, and most people can't bother to stick with it that long.
Really?
But like The slow ramp up and tutorial that 13 has that literally goes on for hours and hours. The problem is, and like Final Fantasy 14, the MMO's biggest problem is it doesn't have any of that. Like the tutorial in 14 is terrible. And I think they've even redone it since it originally came out. And the problem with 14 is that you still really don't know how to play the game.
Right.
Whereas 13 took too long to get into the main game. So
you
it's,
can definitely tell that where's two the middle ground teams worked
on
it.
Absolutely.
But anyhow, the next thing on the news is actually BlizzCon is next weekend. So just, I guess, gear up for some big news, hopefully, next weekend.
I imagine Friday. We won't be doing a Horde House till after Friday when the big press conference is, right?
I think that would probably be best.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, it'll be a show just like today.
right. Exactly.
Like, okay, so this is what we speculate, you know, unless there's like some big like leak that happens, you know.
Aren't you doing a big viewing party with Flock?
No, I didn't get it. I didn't get the streaming this year, so I'm totally in the dark.
I have to work. I've got huge stuff going on at work. I can't even sit there and reload a live stream. Like, I'm going to have to wait until it's all over and then read about it when I get home, which is going to kill me. It's going to kill me.
Nah, I'm going to be refreshing the blog sites, at least on my end. But I didn't get the streaming. This is the first time since the second BlizzCon that I have not like bought or actually gone to the show live. So
I can text you the major headlines over SMS, Rob.
Okay, that would be cool.
I'll just troll you with text, I know. Very brief.
You could make shit up for all I know. That would be so cruel.
Like, oh my god! Oh my god!
Oh my god! Playable panda people! Oh my god!
Raw got fucked in the ass by Jaina, wearing a strap on. Oh my god!
That is like the biggest news. Stage. They're like, and we want to announce that Thrall gets fucked in the ass by Jaina with a strap on. How about that? And everybody, the crowd goes wild. They're like, oh my god, the next expansion's amazing. Yeah.
Jaina finally grew a pair. Yay.
Yeah. Or a strap on.
You know.
It's a double sided strap on, so she gets pleasure.
All right. Look. Wow. Okay.
But I don't understand the strap-on thing. Like, if lesbians
be quiet,
they have to get pleasure too, right? So it has to be double-sided.
I wish I didn't have such craziness going on at work, because I gotta say, I would be in my right mind to just get in the car and just fucking drive to Anaheim, because it's only like a 7-hour drive, which I know sounds crazy, but you can do it. Like, just get in the car, drive down to Anaheim, and just go to the parties.
You know,
like, not even go to BlizzCon.
I'd like to meet my guildies. If I was down there, I'd meet them outside of the convention center. But
we should do that. Like go, like, right after work, like, carpool all the way down there.
I would have to leave Friday right after work, and then we wouldn't get there till like midnight on Friday, and then we would have Saturday, because we'd have to drive back Sunday.
You know, there's a lot of parties that go on, you know, way after hours on a Friday night, so...
What kind of parties are you looking for?
I don't want to go to a yiff party.
Blizzard swinging parties.
No yiffing. No furry parties.
Blizzard furry swing parties.
No lemon party, Extifer.
Well, then I guess there's no reason to go.
All right. Let's get to... If Extifer's done with the news, which I think he was... let's get to the topic of the week. This is a very easy topic of the week this week, a very obvious one, but I think one we need to cover this week, and that is, of course, our final BlizzCon predictions. It's always fun to be a little bit Miss Cleo, look through the glass and see what is Blizzard going to announce. What is your final prediction? And for real, now, I know we do a lot of silly stuff. What do you really think Blizzard's going to announce? And that would be on a Warcraft front. And if you want to, go ahead and do the Diablo and Starcraft front. Now, we usually do invite the feedback from our listeners, and we're still going to do that. So by all means, tweet us your predictions at twitter.com/hordehouse or our email, hordehousepodcast@gmail.com. But do realize you got to answer by Thursday or you're not really predicting anymore. So you got to get those in by Thursday this week, right? Because the opening ceremonies and the press conference and everything's Friday, right? I keep calling it a press conference because I always have E3 and that stuff ingrained in my mind. But this is
it's like a press conference.
It's sort of. It's their E3 press conference delivered like 4 months later for a fee. That's what it is. Okay.
Exactly.
So that being said, what are your final BlizzCon predictions? So Salacious Pop, I'll start with you.
Expansions are no longer going to be big boxed retail things like the last three have been. They're going to be DLC only at a smaller price point, and they're just going to say just from the get-go, expansions are going to be 5 levels at a time, and they're going to be released at a 12 to 18 month cycle rather than a 2-year cycle. So smaller DLC only expansions that are 5 levels.
You know, you mentioned that last night when we were at the Rocky Horror thing, and I've been thinking about that. I actually think I agree. I mean, that's not my final prediction, but I think I agree with that because it makes more sense. Like, and it would make sense if they did something smaller in scale, like maybe a Pandaria thing. I don't know.
I think that's a really neat idea, and it would be, you know, the industry has gone that direction in other games. Like, I don't know, Final Fantasy XI comes to mind, where the whole Abyssia crystal things were all download only, and they don't do the box expansions anymore. But I disagree. I mean, I could see that happening, but I think there was a story this week about Blizzard reinforcing their relationship with GameStop or something. I don't know, something I want to say for the other show I came across and talked about how Blizzard is like kind of solidifying that relationship with retail. So I think not now. I think that's something that probably will happen, but I don't think this year. But we'll see. I could be wrong. I could be wrong.
You could be.
I don't think I don't think it's a not totally impossible thing. Like, it could happen, but I just don't think it will. All right, but good suggestion. Any suggestions you want to throw out for Diablo or StarCraft or anything else Warcraft related?
And I don't really care about those franchises, so I haven't thought about it.
Alrighty then. We'll go to Extifer. Extifer, your final BlizzCon predictions.
I think that they're going to announce an expansion for WoW. And that's the thing, the major thing with WoW. And the major selling point will be probably new
character models.
There you go. And then also for StarCraft, it'll be the second expansion, or the first expansion for StarCraft 2, which would be part of the trio of games that they promised. They'll probably introduce that for the StarCraft 2 crowd. Won't say much about Diablo 3, except that it will be first quarter of next year, you know, reiterate that. Because there wouldn't be anything really to discuss about that. And I think that'll be it.
Okay. My predictions for BlizzCon. I think for Diablo, it's pretty obvious. It's just going to be the game announcement, and it will be probably talking about the official release date. I think they will give us a much better idea as to the official release date. Otherwise, it's pretty obvious what's going on there. StarCraft, we obviously have a new expansion going on there, so I expect that it's going to be playable on the floor, and there'll be a trailer for that, and probably an expected release for that. I don't follow StarCraft enough to be able to say like what the big changes will be, but I anticipate there might be a little more about the Defense of the Ancients thing. I think that is going to play big into whatever comes in the StarCraft world, and I think that's something they're really going to push too. As far as the big one, WoW, I still am not 100% on the fact that Pandaria is the expansion, but they are going to announce an expansion. Absolutely. That's a given. And I think you're going to see a big focus on the end game. I think because Cataclysm was very much about revamping the experience, I think they're really going to push how they're going to make the game more interesting to those of us stuck in the end game. And I, you know, for the longest time, I was thinking character models as well. And I think I've even said that on the show. I actually don't think it's going to end up being that. And I think because of transmogrification coming out in 4.3, I think it's too soon for character models to be redone now. Because if they redo that, I think they're going to have to redo the whole way they do the clothes and all that, which is going to screw up the transmogging thing that they just rolled out a few months ago. So I'm a little less that. And I think with the
Unless
what?
Sorry. Unless the new models kind of fit the old armor.
And that's it. It's possible, and I think if they do announce it, it's not going to be as big of a deal as we're making it out to be. Like, I don't think we're going to see like a total overhaul of the engine,
right,
or anything like that. I think what the big kicker in the new expansion is going to be, and I think there was a big hint dropped just as early as today in the public test realm, where they are now able to limit people's item level, and basically they throttle people's gear at a certain item level. I think we're going to see something akin to the Final Fantasy XI level syncing. And I think that's going to be the big thing in the new expansion, is that you're going to be able to drop your level to another level on demand or what have you. And I think they're going to really try to enhance the old raids that we don't do anymore. I think, for example, I'll be able to drop my gear to something that would be an eye level akin to level 70, get a group together, go to Karazhan, and there's going to be all new achievements, I think will be the thing, in Karazhan to get, and maybe some type of big reward. I don't think there'll be a boss-by-boss reward, because that'll be the transmogging bonus, but some type of big reward at the end for doing an old raid at the right level, because that'll reopen all this old content. And it's going to give us so much to do at the end of the game. It will be akin to what we saw in Cataclysm and the 1 through 60 experience. So I'm going to bet on level syncing, or dropping your level is now going to be the big thing. And it's going to refresh raid content and dungeon content. I think they're going to let us re-experience everything. And it's going to be huge.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, City of Heroes has that. If you're a lobby and you scale up with a friend who's higher level, it's called sidekicking. And if you're a higher level person and you scale down to play with a lobby, it's called exemplar. So yeah, that's a great thing to, if WoW can implement that well, I would be super excited for that.
I kind of think that's it. And I'm not sure what that incentive is going to be. Like, now we have a reason to go run old shit, is the transmogging. And we also now have, you know, achievements are kind of a big part of the game. And I think it's very easy to add those. And I think I've been trying to think about, like, what would motivate me to want to go back and run all those old raids? Like, what could be the big reward at the end? And I'm not sure yet, but maybe there's something where some type of maybe either like faction grinding or just something. Like, I can't put my finger on it, but there's got to be something that you're going to get from being able to go run all those old raids that's going to push the leg up. I don't even think it'll be that. Why do that when Blizzard can make money off of that? I think it could be something that could actually impact your item level, and like maybe like your gear will be better for the true end game, quote unquote, if you've done it. So
I don't know.
I also think they are due still to announce a playable class, if history serves right. And I think people are on the right track with Monk. Even though, I don't know, like, I guess it would have to be the panda thing if it's going to be Monk. But I sort of sense that Blizzard needs to put another tank class in the game. And Monk...
Maybe the Monk would... No, I think it should be another healer class.
Well, DKs were the tank hero class, yeah. So...
I still think they need another tank class in the game. I don't know, but looking for raid is going to lessen the need for tanks. So I don't know. It's hard to say. But I think another hybrid class would not be a bad idea. I mean, true hybrid, like DPS
paladins
and tank. And a monk, yeah, could hypothetically do all of that. So it's a really smart guess. But for that to be true, then I think the panda thing, like, it's got to be that. So, and I don't know. Maybe I'm just still not the biggest fan of the whole panda idea, but I just... There's a part of me that thinks maybe Blizzard actually kept a secret this time, and we just haven't figured. We don't know what it's going to be.
I don't know.
We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
All right. How about emails and tweets? Yay.
How about them?
Yay. Let's read some emails and tweets. Every week we invite your tweets at twitter.com/hordehouse, and we get your emails at hordehousepodcast@gmail.com. All right, going to the tweets. We didn't get a lot of tweets this week, but we did get a new drinking game from Flacco Jones. I guess Flacco was possibly consuming adult beverages while listening to the show, and some suggestions he has for the drinking game. Every time it's a Chipotle reference, take a sip. Every time Extifer makes his mimicking Rob noise, take a gulp. I'm guessing that's that sound he does, which is doesn't even sound like me at all, actually. And every time there's a penis...
Have you ever heard yourself?
Yes, I mean, quite sexy, actually. Every time there's a penis joke, take a chug.
Is he trying to kill people?
Razor Buster...
I'm Rob and I have a penis.
Oh, that's like... You just had to down the whole bottle there.
Yeah.
At Chipotle. I have a penis at Chipotle. Razorbug tweeted us and said, I guess in response to something I said on the last show, the Alliance can be real bastards. He says, we can. Thanks. Hey, guys, we've got permission. No, I actually play Alliance. I play both now because I have an 85 horde. So I am truly bi-factional. So, and I think, honestly, at the end of the day, people on both sides can be real bastards.
I think... Like, Alliance are allowed to be jerks and hold a grudge specifically for the Twilight Highlands experience between and Horde.
I didn't even get into that during my game or my week in Azeroth.
We have a chip on our shoulder and it's justified, okay. So step off.
After playing and leveling my Horde to 85, can I just say the Twilight Highlands was 1,000 times better as Horde than it was as Alliance? I'm sorry, like every aspect of just. Going to there, you didn't have to escort the baby prince around or any of that stuff. There's this epic airship thing as you're going into Twilight Highlands. Alliance has none of that. And I was like, I was literally mad. Like, I was sitting there, I'm so mad at how, like, out of sync this is. I mean, granted, I guess the Alliance gets the wedding, which has some funny jokes and things in it, but I think the Horde overall had the cooler experience. which, okay, fine. Alliance had it way better in Wrath of the Lich King. They did. Like, Wrath of the Lich King was way better as Alliance. So for Cataclysm to be horde skewed, fine, whatever. It's their turn in the sun. But I don't know. I hope the next expansion is a little better at being even on both sides.
Yeah.
I think after leveling a horde to 85, I think the horde did have it better, the leveling experience.
Yeah, we do. We get nice.
Now I understand why Bastion of Twilight is a raid. Like, you just don't really... I mean, I guess you do a little bit as Alliance, but it makes way more sense as a horde. So, All right. Anyhow, let's go into the emails. Hordehousepodcast@gmail.com. And we're going to start with an email from Holly. This is, I guess, a fan email for Jasmine, who was a guest on last week's show. Holly writes us saying, would love to have a book segment. Jasmine is awesome. Happy face. Like a weekly or monthly segment on the books would be sweet. Totally agree about the Christie Golden books. The Knack books are somewhat drier, but still good. He wrote Stormrage. Definitely start with Lord of the Clans. Also, they have two massive archives, so if you want to get all the books for a cheap price, I'd definitely go that route. Also, the magic words that would get me back playing, quote, entirely free to play, from Holly. Well, the game will never be entirely free to play. There will always be incentives for people that spend money. I mean, and look at any free-to-play model. That's how it works.
I've been thinking about getting a Kindle. Would these be available on Kindle?
I think they are.
Really?
I think I remember Jasmine saying something about that last week. I think I asked her about that.
Yeah, Kindles can read PDFs now, so if you go through alternative methods to get the books online, you would find it in PDF, and a Kindle could read that fine.
Gotcha. They're selling Kindles for like $79 now. It's crazy. So
I'm actually looking, though. I'm looking at World of Warcraft The Shattering, and I don't think it actually is on Kindle, because there's this little thing on Amazon where it says, I'd like to read this book on Kindle.
Boo.
So, interesting.
Okay, well, there's that.
The other thing I wanted to say about... Okay, some of the books are available on Kindle. Sorry, I did a search in the Kindle store, and there are quite a few, like Stormrage, Wolfheart, Arthas, Beyond the Dark Portal, Thrall. So I guess most of the books are actually available on Kindle. Maybe it was just that one I was looking at, because there are a lot. There's at least 3, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 9, 9. There's like 12, more than that, books available here. So
yeah, they're the paperbacks, and then if you really want like the Sunwell stuff, that was all the manga series. That's all considered canon too.
The other thing I wanted to say about the books is that I like the idea that maybe we should talk more about it, but a weekly segment, I don't think... I mean, the books only come out so often, so that might be a bit too much. But when a new book is getting ready to come out, we'll make sure we get a book expert, probably Jasmine, back on the show to give us the 411 on what's going on in the book universe.
All righty.
Moving on to an email from Razorbug. Hello, Rob, Extifer, and guest. I want to join in on the topic of the week. What NPC would we like to have in game? Remember last week's topic? This is all about if there was an NPC of you, then what would the NPC basically be? And it might be a bit long for Twitter. Besides, I got to keep that food-related tweets right. I'd like to have a dwarf hunter trainer in Ironforge who gives the players all the wrong advice and keeps mucking up his traps, etc. I picked up my dwarf hunter in Kata, having abandoned him for a death knight in Wrath, and the whole expansion has been a learning curve, getting a hunter up to raid level, with lots of accidental pull shots, traps dropped all over the place, and many, many feigned deaths. So I think my NPC should be the how not to do it hunter, but maybe he'd redeem himself in a mini quest at level cap and reward a suitably cool gun that, no, would not be nerfed into a crossbow moments before launch. Why did I say lunch? Cheers and have a great show, Razorbug.
So all right.
A derpy hunter, basically, that gets reformed by the end.
You know, you're going to be able to transmogrify your guns into bows and vice versa.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's one of the draws of... Because they know that a lot of hunters love their bows or their guns.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they are really choosy in what they want to appear, because you don't want to be look like a you know, a mad dwarven huntsman with a bow, right? You want to have a gun.
Well, I don't really play a hunter anyway, so it's
whatever.
Really
I don't either, so I don't really understand it either.
Let's get to
move on.
My highest hunter is like 25. Although I will say, hunter was kind of fun. Like I need to play more PvP with one. I think that's where I'd have most fun. Anyway, Flacco Jones sends us an email.
Right.
Since I'm a film buff in real life, I would love for my WoW NPC to be a nerdy AV tech working in a screening room in org. Players can go to the screening room, talk to my character, and watch any WoW cinematic or in-game cutscene from a drop-down menu. P.S. Emailers rule. Flacco Jones. That's actually a really neat idea. Like,
yeah.
They should have an NPC. I mean, I don't know about the whole screening room, because I don't know if it would fit in with org. I could see that. Like, I don't know why, but like, I think of a screening room as more of something that would be in Silvermoon for Horde. Like, just like the lovely theater or something. And it would also give like
the lovely theater.
It would also give people a reason to go to Silvermoon.
It could be in Azshara and the one of the goblin megaplexes up there, like the Pleasure Palace. Put the movie theater
there.
The goblins can run it.
Okay, I like that. Good thought. But I like that idea. Like that's a really good idea, so they should put that in the game. And now they should name it after you, Flacco Jones. All right. Our last email tonight comes from Bochikawa. Do you remember that name? If not, here's a little reminder, because the email starts like this. Huggles, Horty House.
The Huggles!
Now yeah. I'm going to have to always open with that greeting, you know. Apologizing if I missed this week's episode. I've been busy and sick. No excuses. You listen to us while you're sick. Here I am, really hoping BlizzCon will wow me this year. Real life things are changing, and I'm thinking about resubbing. And I don't think E3 was that awesome this year, so I've got low expectations to start with. To answer that question of immortalizing myself, high atop a mountain, probably in Feralus, would stand a very beautiful night elf female wearing the most gorgeous dress. That's not me. I'm the gnome hidden underneath her skirt. From that workshop of sorts, I would happen to sell a schematic of fixed I win buttons, which would instantly kill your target 1% of the time and kill you and your party or your raid 99% of the time. I think bosses are immune to instant death anyway, shrug. Another thing that just crossed my mind, I wonder if X-ray specs can be transmogrified. They used to share a skin with the goggles I normally wore, so occasionally I would run instances with them on. Makes for a fun time. Keep up the good work, Bochikawa. I don't remember the X-ray specs. That wasn't that in Burning Crusade out in, I want to say Netherstorm? Like, there was a quest that you ran with those goggles to see stuff?
There's been a lot of...
They're the beer goggles for Brewfest.
Yeah. That's true.
So like, different types of goggles.
Well, here's the thing, though. With transmogging, you can only use stuff that has stats. And I don't think any of those X-ray goggles or things of that nature have stats. So sadly, I think we already know the answer, and it's going to be no. Sorry.
Aw,
but if you want more goggles, you could play an engineer.
Way to go, Rob. Destroying people's dreams.
I know. Killing dreams left and right. But I want to say you could be an engineer, and an engineer can make high-end goggles, right?
That's true.
I've never had the patience to level an engineer, so I wouldn't know.
I did. It's fun.
Yeah. That's good. I'm glad someone enjoyed it.
I think a lot of people enjoy it. Rob.
Well, that was our last...
Stop robbing people of their joy. Rob.
I'm sorry. Well, that was our last email tonight. I'm sorry to say. So no more emails, no more tweets. And that means no more show. We're at the end of the show. Sad. What the hell was that?
That was a baby.
Didn't sound like a baby. All right. Anyway, that's going to do it for another week. And we'll be back next week, of course, probably taping Friday or Saturday. And it's going to be interesting because we'll have BlizzCon and we're going to know more about the next expansion. So it's going to be a big show. Really excited. So we should get like a big panel of people for next week's show. We should just have huge like panel orgy next
Uber
week.
Five guests at once. And then with you two, it's seven. Seven people.
Oh my god, I can't handle it. It'll be an IRL raid on the show.
Seriously.
Talk about BlizzCon. It's going to be fun.
We should do like a live show.
We actually probably could. Like, I would love to do a live show during the BlizzCon spiel, but I have to work. And I have to work. Like, I can't get out of it. So
Maybe like on Friday night.
Maybe.
That night at BlizzCon.
I think there is another show on the network we usually use for live stuff Friday night. We could always go to Ustream, or we can probably work around it. So we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. Keep an eye on our Twitter, twitter.com/Hordehouse.
Details TBA.
For all the deets coming soon. But in the meantime, thanks so much for downloading our podcast and listening to us. If you like what you hear, please tell a friend or an enemy about the show. Help us spread the word about Hordehouse. Leave us a kind review on iTunes like someone did this week. There was a nice review that was written this week.
Or leave us a really horrible one. That's okay.
I prefer not to get those, but all right. Salacious Pop, thank you so much for being here tonight and filling in at the last minute. Really appreciate it. Hope you had fun. Do you have anything you want to plug for our listeners tonight?
Not really plug, but I do have a final comment.
All right, then what's your final thought tonight?
There's going to be new races in the next expansion, and for Alliance, it's the Pandaren, and for the Horde, it's the Dunkaroos.
Yay, that'd be awesome.
Yay, inside joke.
They'd be delicious, is what I would think.
My final thought for the night is go vote for Orange Lounge Radio as best gaming podcast every day, www.podcastawards.com. Please, thank you. And Extifer, your final thought tonight.
Please don't vote for that podcast. Pick any other podcast on that thing.
You are rude.
And vote for that. What?
You are rude.
I'm just saying all's fair,
You know what? There are a lot of great podcasts that are nominated. So I hope an independent
show.
You
just gave your vote away. There you go.
I know.
Yeah. There's Rob working for the dark
But
side.
I'd like you more if you voted for us.
Can you do a write-in vote? Because I would put in Susan Lucci.
No, you can't do a write-in vote.
All right.
But you can add comments, so I guess you could do that.
I would put in Oprah's vajayjay.
All right. That clearly does it for this week at the Horde House Podcast. We'll see you next week, everybody. Thank you. Good night.
It's not very clear up in there, though.
Have a good BlizzCon.
It's all dark and mildewy in Oprah's vajayjay.
And it's 60 gigs per episode, so like, you have to do it.
Yeah.